Blog Talk Radio.
Man, this is let me. Oh, sorry. Let me start the show first. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Brothers for Real radio show. The Brothers for Real is a show of four brothers, normally four Gatewood brothers. Now I'm Leon. I'm usually the guy that sets this thing up. Then there's Robert. He's the guy who actually sponsors the show. Then there's Joseph. He's one of the brothers we call him our historian and legal analyst. And then there's Curtis. He's our minister and civil rights activist. Now, our sole purpose for doing this show is to, first of all, just kind of get together every now and then and talk, you know, because we noticed sitting around the house, we just have some pretty good conversations. And normally we don't talk about a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't mean anything. We try to make sure everything we try to spend most of our days to make sure that there's a positive impact or in outcome of whatever we do or whatever we say. So you won't really catch us talking a bunch of old junk that doesn't mean anything. Because life is actually too short for that. And we've, as a people, are too far behind. We've got like everybody just kind of got a 400-year head start on us. So we just don't have a lot of time for what some people would call BS. And use your imagination on what that means. But so anyway, we appreciate you guys joining us. We have some very loyal listeners. I'd like to thank you guys for joining us every evening, every Wednesday evening from 7 till about 8. Sometimes we get excited and run from 7 until, 8:15, 8:30, sometimes we'll do that. But like I said, we just thank you guys for joining us and supporting us by listening to us. And as I always or often say, we really like talking to ourselves or each other, but we just will be excited when one of you guys decide to call in and talk to us. And if you ever decide to do so, the number to call is 215-383-3872. So tell your friends, share the link that you have on Facebook, and just join in and just have this conversation with us, because we really are having this conversation for the community, like to discuss things that affect the community. And some of the things we won't that we discuss won't necessarily affect the community. But I see Curtis on the line. Hey, Curtis, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, brother.
Hey, brother Lee. One of the things I did want Joseph to talk to us about tonight was, Joseph, you have a middle name.
Kelly.
We call you Munyon.
Yeah.
Now, do you mind telling everybody why they called you that?
They called me Munyon because I used to bring scunion.
That doesn't sound right.
No, that's not sound right. But as a young child, hello everybody, this is Joseph Gatewood. But as a young child, I was always very creative, and I was very quick-minded and witty. Mm-hmm. And if there was something I didn't know what it was, I would often give it a name. Just like, for example, when Mother used to read us Bible stories, and you know, of course, and there were angels in the Bible, and of course, and I didn't understand what these people were in the Bible with wings.
So I named them Jesus birds. Daddy was when Daddy went hunting, came home with a rabbit. I thought Daddy had killed the cat. So I called it the rabbit cat. So one day Daddy came home with these big green things, and everybody was calling them watermelons. Well, I didn't hear the water part. The only thing I heard was what I thought was munion. And so everybody else was calling them melons, and I was calling them a munion. And so the word, and we had a very close-knit neighborhood, so the word got around through the neighborhood that Joseph had been calling watermelons munions, and everybody found that to be quite hilarious.
And so they
nicknamed me Munion, and that's a nickname that has stuck with me since I was probably, four or five years old.
Oh, you serious?
So I've been Munion for a long time. Matter of fact, I've grown from Munion to being Mr. Munion.
Mr. Munion?
Yeah, some people call me Mr. Munion. Some people call me Munion Gatewood. Some people call me Munion the Great. Call me Munion Insurance. But that Munion name has stuck.
And it has been very effective. I mean, it hasn't bothered you at all, has it? Being Munion.
It depends on who calls me Munion. But it really hadn't bothered me at all, because I see people that grew up in the neighborhood, actually they don't even know my name. They don't, you know, it's like people down there on 52. But I live, they don't know my name is Joseph. Only thing they've ever known me as is Munion. And when they see me now, they say, "Hey, Munion, how you doing?" And I say, "Hey."
They don't know they call. And a lot of people don't realize they're actually calling you Watermelon.
Exactly right.
But, Curtis, how you doing tonight, brother?
Hey, Leon, hey, Punchy, and hey, Money, how y'all doing? What's up, Cully?
Doing all right.
Cully.
Great.
Man, doing
great.
Great
to hear the, brothers. Great to hear the brothers.
Yep.
What's going on in Burlington, sir?
Man, we have a lot going on, Leon. We have a lot going on. Really excited stuff going on. You know, we just, it wasn't that long ago when we went to D.C., you know. And during that time, for the first time, we actually had three people that walked all the way from Philadelphia to D.C. To just show their dedication to the cause of Stop Killing Us. They walked all the way from Philadelphia to meet us in D.C. To say Stop Killing Us to the country. And I couldn't think of a better time if you're going to walk from Philadelphia to D.C. than to do it now, even though I have not yet made that walk. But I do think, I want to thank, in case someone is listening from the group, Brother Jamal Johnson, who is the Philadelphia Stop Killing Us representative, Sister Jenny Augustine, is from Maryland, and a brother by the name of Mark Schuler, who is from New Jersey. So, and they were given awards this year for the first time. We've been able to generate a few bucks. So this year, since we generated a few bucks, gave about $200 to, you know, in to all together to the people who walked from Philadelphia to D.C. So Brother Jamal Johnson, the leader, received $75. And Sister Jenny and Brother Mark received $62.50 each. Just a little token. Of course, you can't pay people for walking that far, but, you know, you just say, just something to say that, you know, we get a little money, we generate a little money, we're going to share it, we're going to say we love it. And I also want to thank you for your role, Leon. Jake Wood in the Holler Band. You guys, we really appreciate your contributions to everyone who was praying for us. We had the opportunity to see my brother there, Robert. I don't know where Robert is tonight, but it was just a good time when we saw him on that Friday when we got there. The brothers stayed together. The Gate 3 was together. Joseph, the Gate 3 was together. We stayed together and had a good little time there that night, just spending time with each other and eating pizza. And so it was a beautiful event. Leon and I had the opportunity to get there right before the ribbon cutting of the Benjamin Banneker Academic High School in Washington, D.C. Of course, Benjamin Banneker, of course, is a person who was born during the time of slavery, who educated himself, became one of the nation's and world's greatest mathematicians and an astronomer and architect, and is credited for laying out the city of Washington, D.C. We were there to see the ribbon cutting of his school. That we also understand students there not only graduate 100%, but they all go to college. 100% of the graduates end up going to college. So it was just a lot that fed us, as Dad would say. We were full, not just off pizza, but off the feeling of seeing greatness right before our eyes and letting us know that, you know, we hear a lot of bad news. We hear about the shootings. We hear about the killings. But there is some good news. There are some good things going on. We hear about the pandemic deaths. We hear about, you know, the floods and things that could cause people to lose hope. But we also saw signs where, you know, the Bible speaks about weeping will endure. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So we've seen a lot of weeping, but we also saw some signs of joy. And speaking of joy, my birthday just took place on September 5th. And when I think about my birthday, you know, I think about my mother, Jenny Rigetti Gatewood, who's also a September baby, and my brother Julius Cecil Gatewood, who is a September baby. So to all the September babies, I want to say happy birthday to you. And one other thing, Leon, while I have the floor. Thank you. I want to say to everyone in Anson County and surrounding areas, Richmond County, hopefully you're listening, Union County, any other counties. A lot of times we even had people from Mecklenburg County and some from South Carolina. And just get your mask and everything together. We will do our social distancing, and if necessary, we'll pull back. We will stop if it looks like it's a dangerous thing. But we did agree that we were going to start reconvening in the Hollis Center with our faith and justice forums, where we come together and just, you know, as brothers and sisters and others, we just talk about the issues. We give people the opportunity to speak. If you like to speak, hopefully we're going to expand our reach and put together a few committees that people can help to actually share or just be a part of. You don't want to chair, just be a part of it. Communication, outreach, community outreach, youth coordination, different things that we want to put in place right there in Anson County to make sure we protect our people. Faith outreach, anybody who wants to just take the Stop Killing Us Solution campaign movement there in Anson County and surrounding counties, and make sure they look after, monitor what's going on with the people who are trying to protect themselves from gun violence and police misconduct and all those types of things, and getting the faith community involved. We'll be there. So each third Sunday, beginning at 3 o'clock, right now it's scheduled for September 19. I know sometimes we're hearing some news about COVID. Just so you know, if you come, we will be requiring that you wear a mask. This would not be a debate. We will be requiring that we do keep a social distance. But we will try to go forward, and hopefully by the next Sunday in October, we will have gotten a little bit further beyond the COVID scare that's going on right now. But as of right now, thank you. I want to say thank you to Sister Tanya Chance, Irene, Sister, anyway, our cubs, we have a lot of our cubs have been a part of this movement down there. And we just want to thank everybody. We appreciate you. And hopefully you all can be a part of what we're doing. We just want to save lives. We just want to do God's will. We don't want to just talk about it. We want to be about it. We read somewhere where faith without works is dead.
Dead.
So thank you.
Plum dead. Joseph, we're going to get back to you now, brother. First let me talk about COVID a minute. Folks, if you have not been vaccinated for COVID-19, the word on the street, I mean, I hate to say it like this, but, you know, I know people have different reasons for not taking the COVID vaccination, and I respect those. But COVID doesn't. I respect those reasons. But COVID doesn't. So please govern yourselves accordingly. And if you can, take the vaccine, please do. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of politics involved and all other kind of other stuff involved with the vaccine. But I'm giving you my personal opinion. I admit it's personal. I think you should take it because I'm seeing a lot of people passing away with COVID, and 96% of those, I think the number is, are unvaccinated people right now that are catching the COVID, this Delta variant, which is a very contagious, super contagious variant of the disease or the virus. So please do what you can to protect yourselves and your family, your children. A lot of the children, I understand, from according to the news this morning, are getting the virus from their parents who are unvaccinated. And, of course, then kids are going to school and spreading it around. It's just a big mess. So what we should do is, you know, just take, if you can, take the vaccination for COVID-19. Now, Joseph Curtis, his organization fights violence. Stop Killing Us is the name of it. We're trying our best to get a hold on. Trying to figure out why people just won't stop doing it. Because Joseph, I heard on the news in Charlotte this morning actually, about these, I forget how many cars driving up on this house, shooting the house up, killed a 5 or 6 year old child in the house. I mean, what good is that?
Well, Leon, you know it's no good in it at all.
I mean, what's the point?
No,
I mean, there's no point either, is there?
There's no point. It's just there's just certain segments of our community that are stuck on being stupid, and they just don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any respect for the neighbors. They don't have any respect for the community. They don't have any respect for the law, and they just don't have any respect for life.
Right.
And when you get an individual in that sad state of mind, it's difficult to try to understand that person. So I really wish there was an answer. I don't know the answer. It's something that's been plaguing our community for way too long. I looked at all the major cities in the United States, and, you know, one after one after one. You go from Chicago to Los Angeles, from Chicago to Philadelphia, from New York to Miami, from Charlotte to Richmond. And it's all the same. The majority of people that are killing each other, of course, unfortunately, are us.
Yeah.
It's us that's doing it. And so I can't get into the mindset of these people that are just drive up and shoot up a house and shoot indiscriminately and no regard for who the bullet might hit. But what I can do is I can talk to those of us who claim to be sensible adults. And that is, have some respect for your neighbors. Don't do things that you know that is going to create a discomfort or create a problem for your neighbors. Don't do things that you know that are in violation of the law, violation of city ordinances and city codes, that might prompt one of your neighbors to get into a confrontation with you or even end up having to call the police. So we as a people, we just have to try to do like Jesus taught us to do, is to love one another. And when you love one another, that comes with respect for one another. And before we can become a cohesive force, that is to effectively fight for justice, equality, economic empowerment, all the things that it's going to take to build our community up, we first of all, we have to come together ourselves. And once we come together ourselves, there's no force on earth that can hold us back. And it seems like the further we get away from slavery, the worse we get. We don't have respect for our communities. We losing respect for our schools. All of the institutions that our forefathers struggled so hard to build, We just not supporting them. Even our HBCUs, just like a lady said, she said these. The same HBCUs that our forefathers, they pick cotton, they scrub floors, they plowed mules, they dug dishes and brought their pennies and dimes and nickels together to start these HBCUs. And now we have doctors and lawyers and businessmen and engineers and all sorts of professionals, and we are struggling to keep those same institutions open. And so what I'm saying is we got to come together. We got to refocus. We need to get our priorities in that order. And see, and once we so-called sensible people get our priorities in order, see, then it'll trickle down to these people that are doing senseless things. And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, Joseph, I appreciate what you did say. And while you were talking, a listener did text me some information on the incident that happened in Charlotte. Must have been last night. Over 100 rounds was fired into this house. 100 rounds. Killing a 3-year-old child. So, that is nothing but the devil.
Leon.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm just hearing about this. I don't know if people can get in touch with the family, but I know I would love to be able to if anybody knows the family. Just to let them know that there are some sensible people out here that actually care and that we will be willing to come together if they would like to be a part. I know sometimes it is unfortunate, but sometimes people are motivated to get involved after something tragic happens. That's a sad reality, but sometimes it can make some of the best and most dedicated leaders. So I do want anyone to know, if you have people that you know that are their family, they're a survivor of a family member, loved one, or they might have been a victim but survived, I think we all need to come together as well. People who actually have seen, you know, the tragedy and how it can hurt you to an extent where maybe no one else has yet experienced. So I would love to have for us to put together an army of people who are fed up, who are fired up and fed up, and say, look, you know, we're not going to take this anymore. If we have to go from house to house, find out who's there, you know, getting to know people. But I will say, one of the things Joseph talked about is how it seems as if we are getting the farther we get from slavery and Jim Crow, the worse seems like the most we see the most stupidity. And I attribute it to some of that to an extent of the fact, and it's sad, that we were forced during segregation to love each other as black folks. We had to live together. We had no choice. You couldn't go across the track. If you went across the track, you may not come back. So we were forced to support each other's businesses. Black folk were forced to have to build schools that they went to school and forced to build other institutions. You would think it would not take us being forced to support each other. But it goes to show you the mindset was there, but we were being forced to care about each other. And the mindset came through the fact that since slavery, we've been divided. There was a deliberate effort to divide us, to separate us from family, to separate us from our culture, to separate us from
anything that was that you would love. We were basically being separated. And then, of course, came the media aspect of it. The more we got away from slavery, the more we started getting into television and stupidity through music. And so there's this concentrated effort to exacerbate the hatred that we already have for each other. And through the exacerbation of the hatred, coupled by the fact that there was already an element of hatred there because of the slave masters and racists and white supremacists taught us that black is bad, white is good. The white man's ice is colder than the black man's ice. The sugar is sweeter, so on and so forth. So there was already that element of hatred there. So what we have to do now that we know that, there has to be a deliberate effort to combat that. It has to be done through churches. It has to be done through psychiatrists, the psychologists, through social services, through education. We actually really have to re-educate ourselves, our minds. We actually have to take a deliberate effort to make us love one another. People have to be taught, and I heard Malcolm say this before, people have to be taught to love black people. You don't have to be taught to love white folks. You've already been taught that. I mean, I hate to say that. I'm not saying that in a way that should be offensive to white people. But there has already been an over-teaching for us to love white people, but there has never been a teaching for us to love black folks. And if you listen to the music today, and Leon, we talk about this a lot, you would just see the hatred for each other that we have. But the thing about it is they're doing it out loud. The sad thing about it is, and you all know a lot about this with the civil rights organization that I work with and so on and so forth, there is such a level of hatred from so-called dignified and educated people, or black self-hatred. So we have to, there has to be a deliberate effort. Just like we talk about reparations, there actually has to be not only reparations financially, but there has to be a mental re-education focused on teaching black folk and actually everybody to love black folk. White people need to be taught to love black folk. Latinos need to be taught to love black folk because we are seen as a joke. We kill each other. We separate from each other. We don't support each other. Everybody, the whole world has found out if you want to make money, find out what Negroes like and put your business near Negroes because they're not going to put one up there on their own. If you find out Negroes love hair, get you a business and go to America and set up a hair shop near Negroes. You know, if you find out Negroes love cars, America, and set up a car shop near Negroes because we're not going to provide a need to supply our own needs. So we have to be re-educated, Leon.
Yeah. Well, guys, it's a tough situation we're in. We just have to find a way. We just have to keep pounding, so to speak. We just have to keep doing the right thing. And I am noticing, to be honest, I am noticing in some all small pockets areas that there's a mind shift in the black community. People are starting to see the necessity of working together. And of course, it has a lot to do with an awakening and a lot to do with we're being awakened because of some of the things that are going on around us, the killings, the people, the discrimination. People are getting the racists are becoming more racist. There's just so much going on that's forcing us to with those of us who care and don't want to go completely crazy.
I'm hoping, too, that the platform that we have that I'm talking about there in Morven, and again, thank you, Brother Leon. Thank you for providing a platform for people in our communities that we can, and I hope that we can be a part of this, that we can actually teach each other to love one another. And I think everything we do and everything that I do, it should go toward that purpose of taking young people and some not so young and helping to expose to our dear people good things that are going on and speak to some of the things that are driving us crazy, whether it be through the media, whether it be through the music, whether it be through the miseducation, even that we get in the church. We have to get back to the psychological damage and the mental enslavement that has taken place. There's never been anything done to rectify hundreds of years of teaching black folk that they are less than, teaching black folk that they are their worst enemies, and teaching black folk that white is supremacy. There has not been anything to deliberately focus in those areas. And when we saw the walls of segregation come down and we went out into our places thinking that we were going to, you know, actually just be so much better off, there were people like Malcolm and others who were basically saying, you know, that we were not ready for that yet. We were not ready because we had not been taught to love each other yet. I don't think we were to the point where we were ready to just jump out there with a mindset that taught us to hate each other and run away from our businesses, run away from our churches, run away, well, we kept our churches, run away from our schools, and just go after that person that we've admired, even though while they beat us, robbed us, used terrorism against us, we were still loving that person more than we love our black neighbor. And we open ourselves up to be destroyed.
Curtis, Dr. Martin Luther King said that love is the only thing that can convert an enemy to a friend. Now, let's suppose we became more aggressive in loving the enemies that we call the enemies within. Go ahead.
Since you brought up King, I do want to say this. In his latter years, Dr. King started to express his concern for leading his people into a burning house.
Exactly.
He started to see it. But go ahead. What were you saying about King?
Well, here's actually where I was going with that. He is right. However, what if we started to be more aggressively, if we more aggressively expressed love to the what we're experiencing now is the enemies from within of our own communities. I mean, when I say enemies, I'm not talking about, I'm probably using the wrong word, but when you have people going through your community that will just dump trash in your community, shoot up your neighbors, that's an enemy. You gotta just call that what it is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What if we more aggressively reached out to people that we don't communicate with on a daily basis, with more acts of love? Does that make sense? Let's say we.
It does. It does, Leon. And see, what I'm trying to say to you is, if you will notice this, these men are making excellent points, but it never applied to black people. In other words, we were taught to love the enemy, but love the whiter. Don't love the black enemy. You know, if the black enemy step on your toe or don't speak to you in the morning, you can take that to your grave. But love the white enemy. No matter if he takes your daddy out and hang him up on a tree. So we never let the rules apply about loving each other or loving your enemy. We never let it apply to black people. So the whole point
because,
is,
Curtis, think about this, but because we didn't see ourselves as enemies. That makes sense?
We did.
We did not see ourselves as enemies, but it has come to the point where we have enemies next door. We have anybody that would come to your house and shoot your house up with 100 rounds. That's an enemy. So somehow we have to convert those enemies amongst ourselves to friends.
Absolutely.
And the only way we can do that, one of the best ways to do that, according to Dr. King, of course, Jesus too, is through love.
Absolutely.
We have to start reaching around the corner and finding some way to show some kind of love to people, because there is something in them that is convertible, and we have to find a way to convert it. Yes, sir.
Let me tell you this. I can tell you, case in point, the march that I remember the most, you know, because I've done a lot of marches. I've done marches everywhere, from the General Assembly to the White, to the almost the lawns on the White House. But the march I remember the most is I was called by family in Henderson, North Carolina, who asked that I be help them lead a march in Henderson. This march, they said, was a march for Jesus, right? They said, this is a march for Jesus. I said, wait a minute, wow, I never heard that before, but that sounds good. I said, great, I'll be there. I got there, Leon, there was just about maybe four people, maybe. And, you know, at this time, I'm at the peak of doing the HKMJ thing. We're marching people by 75,000, 80,000, 90,000 people. I'm right out there, you know, helping to coordinate. I get to Henderson, I see about four people. I'm like, what in the world? This a march? So, but my point is, Leon, what we did with that march was just went around the community, and it grew as we went, just telling people we love them, Leon. You should have seen the reaction on some of the people's faces, some of those guys with do-rags on their heads or looking like they might have been gangbangers. We were walking up to them telling them we love them. I could tell it was the first time they heard it. Some started walking with us with their cameras just to see how many people we could say that we love. And people were just coming out really enjoying it. Leon, I really think that was probably the best march I've been a part of. And so my point is just telling people, you know, then, you know, there was no COVID thing. We were shaking people's hands, telling people we love them, you know, just walking through. In, I mean, I'm telling you, I could feel the love coming back from people that I do not believe had probably been told that. And so I'm not saying that people are just going to love you right away when you say I love you, but my point is
it won't happen right away for a lot of people.
Yeah, but I do see how people can appreciate in general a person or people acting as if they really care about you. People also can tell realness. Now, and the Bible speaks to that. It talks about that in the book of John, how when the good shepherd comes, the sheep will hear the good shepherd. They will hear him. They will know his voice. I'm saying that to say people also, especially when you're talking about in our communities, they know realness. And so if you're playing with it, it's not going to go over well. But if people really feel you are sincere, it will do a lot for most of the people. And but we have to find a way, like you said, Leon, maybe, to kind of like keep something going. And that's why I was saying I hope we can maybe get some outreach committees or something that we have on a regular basis and we can expand, maybe have a couple of people in all of some of the neighborhoods in the most need of love, try to find out what's going on with certain people. If there's somebody that's about to get put out of rent or having their lights turned off or something like that, if we can have a little money to help them out, or if there's somebody sick who doesn't have insurance, they need a way to get to the doctor or somebody to try to stand in and help to pay for some doctor bills or whatever. You know, if we could just figure things out and actually start helping people and letting them know that somebody loves
them. Yeah, really, all we could just go by there and tell them we love them. You know, I mean, you know, we could just go by there and tell them we love them. You know, because you start feeling like, I'm just saying it's going to get a little rough. Oh,
yeah.
Robert's here, Curtis. Robert.
Hey, Robert. Okay, what?
Hey, brother. What's up, brother?
How you doing, man?
Hey, man, how y'all doing over there? Interesting conversation going on there.
Yeah, man. We still thinking about that pizza we had up there. But, yeah, how you doing?
Man, that was some good pizza. Man, we could do a Leo's commercial, couple. And something about the bit, I think the fact that it's square, first of all, and then you got that roasted chicken with some spinach and some mushroom. Man, I'm getting hungry all of a sudden. I'm getting hungry all of a sudden.
Robert. Hey, Robert.
Hey, weren't y'all supposed to come here to fight for freedom, not fight for pizza?
Hey, Robert. We can't hear you too well, man. I like it when y'all can hear you better, man. Something's going on with you.
Oh, I'm sorry. What about now?
No, man, you're straight now, man. You can talk. We can talk about pizza now, but before that, I didn't want to.
Y'all couldn't hear me.
Pizza.
I heard you late, man. I had my hand off the phone and trying to do the speakerphone thing, but yeah, like I was saying, I thought you guys were supposed to be coming to D.C. to fight for rights and freedom and humanity, but it seemed like y'all were fighting for a good square pizza from Lito's, which I ain't mad at. It was good.
Yeah, you did get a little distracted there. Y'all a little distracted.
Got a little sidetracked.
We got back.
Yeah, man.
What y'all talking about today?
Speaking of pizza, we were talking about love, Robert, and how here's the deal, Robert. In Charlotte last night, at some point, they don't know how many cars, but several cars drove up to this house in Charlotte. Killed a 3-year-old child, shot over 100 rounds into the house, killed a 3-year-old child. And we're saying that is the enemy within the community. That is the enemy. I mean, we need to find a way. Anyway, I use Dr. King's quote earlier, love is the only power that can transform an enemy into a friend. And
you know, Leon.
Yes, sir.
We can't discount the devastating impact of white supremacy and racism had on our community. It did something to our psychic energy, to our psychology, which made us hate each other. Now, that does not excuse. That means we just have to try harder. Life isn't fair. We don't start from – everybody doesn't start at the same starting point. We have to realize that we have some uphill challenges. We have to fight harder. We have to understand who the enemy is. And we just can't say, well, because the white man enslaved us and had us in Jim Crow and then put us in, lynched us, and now we got to go out here and start shooting each other. I'm just not going to buy that. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm saying
right.
We know that is the case.
Yep.
Since
yep.
we know it, why don't we address it?
Exactly, Robert.
Stop making these dirty excuses. There is no excuse that's acceptable.
We have to be very deliberate.
I'm not going to accept anybody's excuses. So what do we do about it? That means what Curtis is doing, what you are doing, Leon, what I'm doing, we just have to do more of it. We have to try harder. We have to go out in these communities. We have to roll up our sleeves, and we have to get to work. But there is
and we have to show love. We have to show love,
us.
Robert. We have to show love. Mm-hmm. We have to give real examples of love. People have to see love. They have to feel love. They have to want it and be able to receive it.
Let me give you an example. I'm going to apply this to a personal thing that happened to me today. So I go upstairs. I'm in this office suite, right? And so I booked this conference room. Me and my client went upstairs to have this conference. And I get up there. Somebody was already in the room. Now, of course, the natural reaction will be, hey, get out of this room. I've booked this room. You know what I said? I said, look, we can meet in my office because I could tell the other people in the room, they were kind of getting a little attitude like they're ready, like, you know. I said, look, don't worry about it. It's not that serious. The guy came out of the room. He said, look, man, I'm sorry. Because of my attitude, I could have had this attitude that, look, man, I've booked this room, brother. You got to go. I'm saying to myself, this is my brother in there trying to conduct business. He's not out here gang-banging. He's not shooting anybody. He's in a room trying to build his business. This is not a time
man,
to start
man,
knowing
about
who's,
to shout.
Who's the toughest.
You're about to make me shout,
huh?
Man. You're about to make me shout.
You know,
that's preaching now, brother.
This guy wasn't out here trying to gang-bang. He wasn't out here trying to drive. This guy was trying to build a business. So I said, look, tell those brothers in there, I'll just meet in my office. The brother overheard the conversation and came out of the office. He said, look, man, I'm so sorry. He took out his fist. We fist bumped. I said, what y'all doing in there? He said, man, I'm a real estate investor. I do this, that, and the other. He said, what do you do? I said, I'm a marketing consultant. I do well. his partner came out the room. Hey, man, you said branding? I handed out two business cards. I'm probably gonna get two clients out of this. I showed love over confrontation. I said, that's my brother in there. That doesn't make me a pushover, a patsy, a weakling. That means that, look, when you see people doing positive things, you have to reinforce it. Sometimes you have to take down that bravado, that machoism. I'm tough. I'm bad. I'm right. You're wrong. Everybody has to do that, but we lead by example. It happens every day in our lives.
No. Yes. Man, you're preaching now, man. I'm trying to tell you, man, that is what has to happen. And those kind of things, honestly, Robert, somebody in that room or somebody because of you, you know how people get exposed to COVID, somebody got exposed to common sense and love by you. That's what we need to teach people. Expose somebody to common sense and love. I mean, you're exposing people to all this other stuff. Expose somebody to common sense and love. I mean, compassion.
I can guarantee you this. I didn't know this guy. Still don't know him. Wouldn't know him if he walked in the room right now. I can guarantee you right now this guy was changed today.
Yeah.
The guy that was with me, the client, he was changed. He said, you know what? He said, I can learn from you. That's what the guy told me in the elevator, because the lady at the front desk booked us in another room downstairs, which was better than the one that we were supposed to be in. The guy said, I can learn from you. He said, I probably would have handled that differently.
Right.
I said, that's what we need more of. Love your brother. Love your sister. Respect. We don't. It doesn't have to be done in a confrontation or a place where people are fighting. You do it in your everyday. You do it in your job. You do it with your family. You do it with your neighbor. Does that mean you're a pushover? No. But we only have a certain amount of psychic energy. We have to use it in a productive way. I'm sorry. Don't get me
wrong
here.
Amen, man.
Great stuff. Amen.
Robert, I go through these kind of situations, not every day, but often, you know, where I just say, man, okay. I mean, so what? You stole $6,000 from me. So what? That was rhetorical.
That was
a rhetorical statement.
$6,000.
Leon.
Yes.
Listen,
look, this is what I'm doing, and I advise other people to do it, Leon. In fact, this is what we're going to do to when people come together with us. I have found that there have been great minds that came before us. They survived some of the biggest odds. They survived racism at its worst. They survived poverty at its worst and black deprivation at its worst. Yet they survived. And so what I do, and I'm going to, you know, I like to tap into those minds. And there are others, whether black, white, or certain politicians, philosophers, but I'm taking their words and I'm really thinking about them. And sometimes it can take a sentence or two from some of those great people, you know, whether it's Marcus Garvey, whether it's Nelson Mandela, whether it's some of the women such as Ella Baker, Ida B. Wells, but people who actually did it, people who actually stood for something, just hear what they had to say. And I'm just looking at something simple from Nelson Mandela. He's saying, it always seems impossible until it's done. You know, he just has so much wisdom. Look, Arthur Ashe said this right here. He said, start where you are. Use what you have and do what you can. In other words, you know, no matter what you have, whatever God has dealt you, he's saying take that and start there. Use what you have and do what you can. If everybody did that, something that simple, it would make life so much better for so many. And, you know, of course, there's this quote that people seem to like a lot where it is said that everybody wants to change the world, but nobody wants to change himself. Sometimes, as Michael Jackson reminded us, it just might start with the man in the mirror.
That's right. Talking to the man in the mirror. Looking at man in the mirror. See what's going on with that guy. But
man
love
looking
people.
Looking at the man in the mirror. Hey, hey.
Woo.
I'm sorry. Can y'all hear me?
Jamming.
I thought I was on mute.
You jamming. You're doing good. But love, guys, if we can find a way to be better examples of love, we can find a way to expose more people to love, because that's what it's going to take. People being exposed to love, being exposed to common sense. Because unfortunately, what these young guys are doing as far as this gang banging and shooting up people and killing people, somehow somebody has convinced them that that is cool, that is manhood. So it's up to men to show boys what being a man is really about. Does that make sense?
Amen.
So
Leon.
Men are going to have to step up and show boys what manhood is about.
Leon, and like I said, and Hollywood has taught us all of the wrong lessons. And so what, you know, because they're the ones that are teaching us you need to carry a gun, you know, you need to have a woman and all these other things, and you need to do all these things that Hollywood has decided what should be done, when in fact Hollywood is corrupt. So the love thing, Leon, is something that, you know, had been speaking to my spirit for a long time, so I'm glad to hear that we are on this, and I think we should beat that drum, because, you know, I had started asking people to play, you know, the Caravan of Love and stuff like that. And I think we really should pick this thing up and take it to a level where we are, in fact, saying that the solution to black-on-black hatred is black-on-black love. And I think we should actually start trying to put that notion out there that there should be something as black-on-black love. And that doesn't mean we don't love other races, but there is obviously, when you start looking at what's going on in Charlotte, where someone would shoot 100 rounds into a house, something similar happened here in Durham. Somebody shot about 100 rounds into a house. We also know in Chicago, a brother was shot 64 times, one man. So when you see this, you know that we have a unique problem that we must address. We must address it deliberately. And before I go, I have to say something to the church, Leon. Shame on you. Shame on you, church, for not leading this discussion and for not leading the way and making sure your light is shining out here in this neighborhood where people are dying to hear a good word. People are dying to meet a friend. People are dying to be loved. This is our work. This is our mission. Shame on you if you are not willing to take that mission.
Well,
that's real talk, boys. Yeah. That's real talk, boys. That's real talk. But, guys, you know what? Talk is one thing, but we got to put this into action. Now, I'm, like I said, I'm happy and proud to provide this platform. And I'm even proud to put a couple of bucks in behind it or whatever we have to do. But I think right now, based on what Curtis has said, what Leon you said, and what I've echoed, we need to take talk and put it into action. And I think we need to put our heads together. And like you say, there's a thing in marketing called social proof. Social proof simply means you do something because other people are doing it. If they don't see it, they're not going to do it. That's marketing 101. If you don't see other folks doing it, it's a good chance you're not going to do it too. We're so busy trying to make money and be tough and stick our chest out and show that we're the bad man or the tough woman or whatever, that there's not enough people that's counteracting that. Dang, I just lost my darn line. Hello?
While he's getting that together, Walt Disney said, if you can dream it, you can do it. Watch the clock. Don't watch the clock. Do what it does. Keep going. In other words, sometimes we've been led to believe that after a certain point of time, we need to stop. But if God is giving you something, you go on and you figure it out. And like Robert is saying, whatever we need to do,
we need to figure it out. We need to do it. And I know we can. I know we can. And we need to take it on the road. We need to take it on the road where it can be seen. Because the Bible speaks to this, let your light so shine that men may see your good work. We hear a lot of people, well, I do my stuff behind the scenes. I don't believe in getting out here. Well, that's a problem. You need to let your light so shine that people can see it in the community, that people can see it somewhere. Holding a light or a candle under a bush, the Bible speaks against that. Bring that light up out of the bush where people can see it. Hold it up. So if you have something that you do well, that you do good, and you have a good whatever it might be, people should see it because it could serve as a source of inspiration.
Amen to that.
Hey, Leon.
Yeah, man.
My phone died, man.
Yeah, Robert.
Yeah, my phone died. I'm back. I was on a roll. I'm sorry about that. I was just gonna wrap things up by saying that let's take these words and put them into action. And I was giving my injecting a little marketing here by saying one of the strongest emotions of marketing or getting people to do what you want other people to do is to do it yourself. People follow the leader. They see people doing things. If they like it, they're going to do it too. Sometimes, even whether they like it or not, the fact that other people are doing it give them license, give them justification, give them validation to do it themselves. So we start practicing love in everyday ways. I say let's just come up with a list. These are things that you can do today to start having an impact. We can come up, like Curtis came with those are rules for SKU. Let's brothers
mm-hmm,
come up with some
it.
Things, some rules for showing love. An action,
come up with a,
action,
come
item,
up with a,
action items.
Come up with a code of love. Robert, you missed Joseph earlier. He gave his the history of the nickname Munyon. Joseph's still on the line. Joseph.
Yes, sir.
Joe. You on that sleep, man?
Hey, Robert.
You've been quiet since Robert got on the line. How you doing again, Joseph?
Oh, I'm doing great, man.
I didn't mean to put you to sleep there, bro. I know I can be long-winded now.
No, that's okay. I
Reverend.
Remember, like, Reverend, somebody asked Reverend Martin one time, why was he so quiet? And Reverend Martin said, Reverend Martin was one of these old Baptist teachers with a lot of wisdom, and
right.
They were having a meeting. Reverend Martin was quiet, and somebody asked Reverend Martin, said, Reverend, why were you so quiet in the meeting? He said, well, I already know what I know, but if I sit here and listen, he said, I know what you know, too.
Go ahead, Reverend Martin.
Yeah, Dad used to tell those, come on with those witty words.
Yeah,
a lot of those guys he hung out with.
Yeah, they had some witty quotes, boy.
Yeah.
Hey, brother.
On that, love, people always listening while, you know, we were talking about how people have often emphasized love your enemy. But the Bible also says, love ye one another.
Amen.
And he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Number one, love your neighbor. Yeah.
And why
walk away across the street to love an enemy when you got neighbors right next to you not even loving? Grab
right.
the low-hanging fruit.
That's a good place to start, though.
This is where it starts at. It says, love your neighbor as thyself, which means, first of all, you have to love yourself.
Yeah,
and
that's
once you love yourself, you'll start doing things to make your own life better. And then, of course, you're in a better position to love somebody else. And I think one thing we hadn't talked about is we got too many young black men out here that's going out here making babies and abandoning them. They're abandoning the mother and abandoning the babies. And that's something that we need to find a solution to, because that's where it all begins. Because if you don't have somebody to rear up that child, the street's going to rear up that child, and the street is not going to be too kind.
Yeah.
So
that's
another.
Yeah, that's where the village come in. Yeah,
that's
we broke down the village.
we got to rebuild that village.
The village has been torn apart.
Right.
The village has been torn apart. But love ye one another. And that's why I keep talking about where people misinterpret Jesus' message. You know, because I was telling a lady today, I was talking about, I told her, there was a song that said, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child, so holy, meek, and mild. I said, now that's when Jesus was a baby, when he was meek and mild. But as Jesus got older, Jesus was a very, tough person. He wasn't so meek, and he wasn't so mild, and he saw a situation that was something needed to be done, he would go out and do it. And a lot of times people were, a lot of people didn't accept him too well for that. But the bottom line was, all the time it was about love. It was about, you know, chastising your children when you see them doing something wrong, or trying to talk to your brother when you see him not doing what he's supposed to do. But you always have to do it with love and in love.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to kind of clap the close on that, brothers. But I'm going to do this before we go, man. We just need to keep this, Curtis, we got to keep these families in prayer that are going through these shootings. I'm going to read this to you right quick. They say, according to detectives, two cars pulled in front of the house and several shooters targeted the home, unleashing more than 150 rounds. They say, his grandma says, that's when I told my grandson to get down on the floor, and I got on the floor. And by the time we got on the floor, they shot a little more, and then the shooting stopped. When I went upstairs, he, referring to her grandson, was already passed away. I already knew when I felt his neck. I knew already that he was gone. And say the officers worked throughout the night. They said they just shot up the house and killed my great-grandson. They tried to kill everybody up here, I do believe. Says about 11 people in the house at the time. And they went in there and just shot up the whole house. So, Curtis, and people listening, we're going to have to pray for the young people, because it appears this was a high school student involved in this, according to the news reports. That's what I'm going by. I don't know. But I'm just saying, according to the news reports. So these are boys doing this stuff. These are boys who have not been trained by men how to be men. So men, if you're listening, it is high time for us to train boys and bring them up to be men. These boys are lost. They're confused. They're being led by people who don't care. They've been trained by something we have no idea. So I'm going to have to get Curtis to lead us in prayer before we go. And that will be right now, Curtis. So if you could pray for these families and just give us some kind of, ask God for some kind of guidance on how we can approach this effectively.
Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we are mindful of your word where you say, with the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, we can say unto the mountain to remove. And Father, we're asking that we remove the block of ignorance. We remove any teachings of self-hatred. We remove anything that will come between our love for one another. Father, we're asking that those mountains be moved tonight. Father, we're asking that every mother, every child, every sibling, father, who have lost a loved one, Father, we're asking that you touch their hearts. Let them know that they are loved. Lord, touch them with your comforting hands of unity and peace. Father, we ask that we be a part of the light where you say, where weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Father, we're asking that you allow this program, our work together as brothers, our work together as a community, we will be part of that light of joy that comes in the morning. We give you the honor and the glory as we say amen.
Amen. Brothers, God bless you, brothers. Keep doing your great, keep doing the great work you're doing. Keep being an inspiration to the community. keep loving each other. And listeners, please expose somebody to love.
Amen.
Good night, everybody. We're out of here, man.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
Sir, brother. Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Enjoy the conversation.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap, brother. Y'all be safe out there.
Great show, man. Good day, brother.
I tell you, I was going to class, man. I was taking a construction technology class.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's pretty wild, man.
You learn
anything?
I'm
building a house that I'm going to live in about 6 months. Yeah. We're building a little tiny house.
Right.
I'm gonna buy it and live in it. I'm gonna live like T.J. Clampett now.
Hmm? What are you gonna do with
Java? I just might you know, rent it out or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm gonna take this little tiny house and put it behind a hollow center and go somewhere back there and just meditate. Figure out how I'm gonna save the world, man. I was looking for that song the other day, man. The class of 1963. Space class of 1963. Yeah, 58 year reunion here. And I just couldn't find that song, man. I guess God didn't want it played. I don't know. The brother, the number to call is 215-383-3872, but don't call it till next Wednesday. We'll talk to you later. Have a good night. God bless you.
leave.